Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Go ahead, grab your copy of God's Word. Say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word says I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, I'll receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad you got to sit next to me because I'm looking good today. Just tell them how excited you are that they got to sit next to you. You can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Listen, I believe you're sitting by some of the greatest people in all the world. But right now, joining with us online is all those who may not be able to make it here today physically, but they're with us in spirit, and now they're with us online. Can you give it up for all those joining with us online? Come on, give it up for them right now. Yeah. Now, before we get into the message, I did hear of a story. You know, in this community, boll weevils are pretty significant because that's how we got into the peanut industry in the first place, for those of you that don't know the history of Dothan. But there was a story about two specific weevils, boll weevils, that were here in Dothan. One of them, amazingly, had a lot of gumption and went out, made something of himself. I mean, went to Hollywood, became an actor, and then made a lot of money and became a philanthropist and gave away the majority of his wealth, this boll weevil. Everybody know what boll weevils are, right? Okay, and they're little animals. Okay, little critters. All right. So the first one went off to Hollywood, made a great success. The second one, just lazy. Just flat out lazy, stayed in the cotton fields. I mean, didn't do much of anything. It was really kind of embarrassing and never amounted to anything. The second one naturally became known as the lesser of two weevils. So, okay, look, some of you thought, that's not so good. Here's another one. This is my second shot at a first impression. Okay, now I did hear of a story one time about a lady that she was married but realized that she was pregnant with twins and they couldn't care for the twins, and so she gave both of them up for adoption. And the first twin was given to a family all the way in Egypt. And they named that child Amal and raised that child in Egypt. And then the other child, the other twin boy, was sent off to a family in Spain. They named that child Juan, and he grew up and became a little bit older. And after a while, Juan wanted to connect to his birth mom and just sent a picture of himself as he had grown up a little bit. And boy, that mother was so pleased, so grateful. She was just so elated that she saw how he was growing, how Juan had grown up, but really was kind of disappointed that she hadn't heard yet from her other child. Looked at her husband, said, I'm so sad that I haven't had a chance to see the picture of Amal. And the husband looked at him and said, baby, listen, they're twins. When you've seen Juan, you've seen them all. All right, that's enough. We've gone as far as we can go, ladies and gentlemen. This is Let's get into the Word of God today. We've been talking about in this life series called Life Hacks. And if you don't know what life hacks are, you could go Google it or go on YouTube and find that there's these little unique and very interesting things that, you know, taking what would maybe be a household item and turning it into something that can actually help save you time or save you money around the house. It's life hacks. And so you can look that up and find that basically it's taking something that you may have overlooked and using it for something very important, useful, and helpful around the house. Well, how many understand God's Word is filled with life hacks? It's filled with things that maybe as a believer in this room, you've read the Bible many times, some of you many times over, and you've read these very same scriptures, and yet you overlooked what God was trying to teach you about a significant principle in His Word, something that maybe could be so simple but easily overlooked. And we're going to talk about that today as we talk about believers behaving badly. Believers behaving badly. Why do we do the things we don't want to do? And got a piece of direct mail one time that simply said this. Do you feel like you're too fat? Do you feel like you're too skinny? Do you feel like you haven't achieved all that you have to achieve in life? This is your opportunity. For only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, we will send you something that will guarantee that will change your life. Now, who would buy this baloney? Who would buy this? Well, we do. We all do, apparently, or many of us do, because the research has been done on all these self-help books, and now research has shown that over 2,000 self-help books are produced every single year and released. Somebody's buying it somewhere. And so we've got to figure out, how can we take the areas of our life and bring real and lasting change? And let me just give you a hint at that. Because some of us have walked through issues where, and I gave a small list of a few areas that are out of control in our lives. You know, our temper is one of those areas that may be out of control. I did hear of a lady that said, you know, my husband is pretty temperamental. He's 90% temper and 10% mental. You know, but some of us struggle with that. We struggle with our temper. Others of us, it may simply be our spending. Right? Like the guy that had his wife's credit card stolen, and the credit card company did some research to try to find the criminal who'd stolen the credit card, and the husband finally got a call about a month later from the credit card company. He said, "We found the criminal," and he said, "Don't stop him. Let him spend what he wants. He's spending less than my wife does." So if you're struggling with spending, maybe you need to have your card stolen. Maybe it's unhealthy eating habits. Let's keep moving. I don't want to talk about that one. Maybe it's moods, mood swings you deal with constantly. You're up one day and down the next. Maybe it's drinking or alcohol addiction. Maybe it's sexual desires and the things that you're allowing to get out of control in your life. Maybe it's just procrastination. You desire to do something, but then you just kind of put it back on the back burner and figure, I'll do it later. For some of you, it may be bad habits like your mouth. And for some of you, it wouldn't just be like cussing and swearing. It may not even be bad language. For some of you, it may just be negative talk. Listen, out of the overflow of the heart, the Bible says, the what? The mouth speaks. So really, what comes out of your mouth is a direct reflection of your heart. And if you're worried constantly, it's hard to worship when you're worried because you're focused on the problem and not on the God that brings the solution. So maybe for you, it's just negative talk. For some here today, you may be struggling with your time management. You feel like you never have enough hours in a day. And all of us probably have a little bit to struggle with there. Maybe it's your need to always be right. Or maybe it's that underlying part that really kind of oversees all of these problems, and that is selfishness. I want what I want, and I want to do what I want when I want to do it. But whatever it is today, you need to understand God is here to bring you freedom. And if you battle with any of those areas or areas that I did not mention, you need to know today you're in the right place. Matter of fact, not only are you in the right place at the right time to hear this message, but I'm going to tell you, God put you in this place at this day for a specific reason. Why? Because He wants to see transformation in you. And we're going to talk about how to find real and lasting change, transformation that lasts for more than just a few minutes, but it'll last a lifetime. So let's talk about the way that the Apostle Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament, let's see how he dealt with these issues. It's Romans chapter 7. We're going to identify the problem right now. And I'd like for you all to read this out loud with me. Would you do that? Can we read this scripture out loud together? Here we go. My own behavior baffles me. Now, wait a minute. You're not reading loud. You're not reading out loud. Those people online need to hear your voice. Okay, here we go. Ready? Just do like that. Just clear your throat and get ready. Okay, here we go. My own behavior baffles me, for I find myself doing what I really hate and not doing what I really want to do. I often find that I have the desire to do good, but not the power. I don't accomplish the good I set out to do. And the evil I don't really want to do, I find I am always doing. See, when you look at that kind of a scripture, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm in good company. Because if the Apostle Paul struggled this way, and he was such a great and powerful, mighty man of God who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he said he admitted that he needed God's help. And that's really the beginning of transformation, as we understand we need God's help. It's this civil war that happens between our flesh and our spirit. It's like this Jekyll and Hyde. You want to do right, but you don't do it. You start to try to do a little bit good, and then you fall short. Parts of me want to do the right thing, but then I don't do it. The Bible said it like this. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Willing, but weak. And if you've ever tried to start a new habit, maybe you started, back in the beginning of this new year, you wrote out New Year's resolutions, and you said, this year is going to be different. And then by January or February, you let yourself down, because you didn't accomplish what you set out to do. Or maybe it was the beginning of the summer. Right at the end of the school year, you said, this summer, I'm really going to do some amazing things. And now here it is, almost the end of the summer, and you haven't accomplished what you set out to do. So we try and rely on willpower. And here's the problem. The results are predictable. Relying on willpower alone leaves us feeling, number one, confused. Always leaving us confused. Why do I make the same mistakes? Why do I keep going through these problems? Why, if I've set out to try to achieve something, why can't I do it? Why do I do the things that I know are bad for me? Why do I eat the things that I know are bad for me? Why? Why do I do it? And then we become frustrated. It moves from confusion to frustration. How many of you started a diet or an exercise with great intentions in the morning? But by the afternoon, what you felt was a balanced diet was having two hands to hold your Big Mac. You know what I mean? You got to balance. I mean, before too long, it just feels like you're overwhelmed and frustrated. I want to change. I just don't know how. I've got the motivation. I just don't have the determination. Right? I have the desire. I just don't have the power. And that's the problem with self-help books is they tell you what is wrong. They identify the problem, they just don't tell you how to really change it. Like a hamster on a wheel, there's constant motion but no traction. You're going nowhere, feeling confused and frustrated. You're stumbling again and again. And then we get discouraged. And this is the part where it can really take a bad turn. Because at some point you can go through life and say, you know what, I tried it, I failed, I give up. The Bible says, though the righteous fall seven times, they get back up again. So if we're desiring to be righteous in this room, we can't give up. God's given us something. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, watch this. Here's what he came to a really sad conclusion about. He says, it's an agonizing situation. Who can set me free from the prison of this mortal body? It feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back, right? How many promises have we made to God and didn't keep? How many promises have we made to ourselves and didn't keep? And the fact is, God's saying, don't get discouraged. He says, I've got good news for you. I'm here to change what you could not change in your own power. The power of the Holy Spirit is here to change you from the inside out. You don't have to leave the same way you walked in. God says, I gave you the power through my word and through my Holy Spirit. Now I can live within you to give you the power that you did not have on your own. So let's talk about God's promises. Now that we've identified the problem, let's look at God's promises. Here we go. John chapter 8, verse 32 says it like this. Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. If you look at it in the Old Testament, Zechariah said it like this. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. Everybody say, by my spirit. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So notice the lasting secret to change is not willpower. It's not just your willingness to have, you know, magic pills or some new magic formula or New Year's resolutions or some new gimmick that comes out. It starts with our minds. The transformation really begins in our minds. We need renewal. The Bible says, be transformed in Romans 12. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So today, your thought process has to change. That stinking thinking that comes up in our brain that says, this is the way I've always done it. And we end up leaning back into this slippery slope of patterns of thought that are not right, they're not biblical, they're not accurate, they're not even close to what God has intended for you. And so today, I believe God's going to give you something so strategic that it'll transform you. See, here's how it goes typically for most of us. Our thinking creates feelings, and our feelings create action. We think about a situation, and we stress about it, and we ponder over it. You begin to, really thinking is nothing more than asking and answering questions in and of yourself. That's what real thinking is. You'd say, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure if that's true or not. You just proved my point. You're asking and answering your own questions. So thinking is asking and answering your own questions. So today, some of you, while you're thinking and asking and answering your own questions, ask a bad question, get a bad answer. You're thinking to yourself, this could never work out. Well, this doesn't work for me. Well, this isn't the way that I've always done it. Well, this isn't the way my parents did it. Well, this isn't what I used to do. This, I don't know how to do it right. Do you know all of those thinking moments create in us a feeling? Do you know if you have in this room a fear, it's usually because you took time to dwell on that thing over and over again with every negative answer, every negative result, until you literally can feel heart palpitations, right? If you really believe that something's wrong, if you're out camping, right? I've given this illustration before. If you're out camping and you believe there's a bear outside your tent, even if it's nothing but a cricket outside, but you believe it's a bear, your heart will start racing. You'll start to get, you know, flush. You'll start to break out into a cold sweat. Not because of the reality, but because your thinking produced a false reality. Are you following this? So you begin to think a certain way, which causes you to feel a certain way. I think I'm depressed because of these negative situations. Therefore, I feel depressed. Therefore, I am depressed. Are you following that train of thought? So what we need to do is begin to change our mindset to know what God has to say. The fact is, behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie that we choose to believe. The Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Everything you do, good or bad, is based on a belief. Jesus said, when you know the truth, let me say it again. When you know the truth, let me say this again. When you know the truth, how do you know something? It's in your mind. Matter of fact, the Bible, when it uses the word to know, it uses that term not just in your thinking, it also is a picture of intimacy. When you look throughout the scriptures, it says like Adam knew his wife and they begat children, they conceived children. So knowing is more than just a mindset, it's an intimacy. For some of us in this room, what we really need when we start to get worried and filled with doubt and fear and unbelief and distraught and stressed and overwhelmed and overcome, do you know what we really need is intimacy with God. The closer you get to God, the less fearful you'll become about your situation. Why? Because the closer you get to the bigness of God, the more you'll see how small your problem is in comparison to our big God. Are you seeing this? This is so important. Jesus said to know the truth. It'll set you free. Now, faulty misconceptions. John 8:36, the Son has set you free, you're truly free. Last week I shared with you a scripture and a story in John chapter 11 about Lazarus. Lazarus, for those of you who weren't here last week, Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. His Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, of course, loved their brother Lazarus, sent word to Jesus. Jesus was only a couple miles away. They sent word to him, our brother is sick, he's about to die, please come help him. And Jesus didn't come. A couple days go by and he still didn't come, and Lazarus dies. And Jesus tells his disciples that he knows that Lazarus has died, and he said, but it's for your own good that he died, because I'm going to do something miraculous that's going to transform your minds. See, in their mindset, once you're dead, you're dead. And that's the way it is in life, right? Either you're alive or you're dead. There's no two ways about it. But Jesus, the Bible says, is the resurrection and is the life. So when Jesus shows up on the scene, those things that were dead become alive because he shows up. Are you following this? Now, I'm going to ask, I was thinking about this morning, a couple of, who could I get that would be really strong guys, like really, you know, beefed up strong guys, guys that work out all the time, guys that, you know, football player type guys, and Jason and James, two brothers, if I could ask the two of you guys to come down front, give it up for Jason and James as they come down here. Come on, guys. Now, as they're coming down, I'm going to continue to give you this picture. So Jesus shows up on the scene. Mary and Martha look at him and said, Jesus, if you'd only showed up, our brother wouldn't have died. And he said, I'm here to bring him to life. Roll away the stone. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he came forth, the Bible says, with his grave clothes still on. Okay, now, here's the picture. All right, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Thank you so much for this. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. All right, now, here's what I'm going to have you guys do, all right? One of you is going to just tie up the other one, all right? So, who's the strongest one? see, they're both. You know what? Just because you pointed quicker, I'm going to have you get tied up. Okay, so put your, just stand like this. Stand like this, all right. All right, now you help me. All right, we're gonna wrap him up. So, we'll start down here, all right? This is what you've always wanted to do, right? Is just mess with your brother. All right, you're getting your chance right now. All right, so now we got to wrap him real good. All right, down here. All right, you go ahead and you finish out while I'm talking about this. All right, so here's the picture. They had already wrapped up Lazarus. They had the grave clothes on him. All right? Now, let me just say it like this. I know this young man is very strong, okay? Works out all the time. I mean, just got the, you know, the muscle. But when he's wrapped up like this, he's not able to walk real good. All right, so that, that's pretty good right there. That's pretty good right there. Okay, now, let's just stop and say this. Go ahead, let that go. Oh, you're almost done. Yeah, just finish it out. Yeah, go ahead. Just finish it out. Okay, now, if I told you to go ahead and play football this season wrapped up like this, would you be nearly as fast as you always have been? Right? Why? Because there's something holding him back. And for him, it's just a little piece of tape. For Lazarus, it was grave clothes. And so here's the problem. We have been made alive. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for our sins, rose again on the third day to give us new life. He says, I'm going to set you free from your sin. And we say, amen. And we come to an altar or we pray a prayer and we say yes to Jesus. And we say, I can't believe it. I've been made alive. And then try to walk a little bit. Just try to walk a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. This is a picture of our Christian walk. See, we're alive, but we're still tied up. Still tied up with the worries and cares of this world, still tied up with the sins of the old nature, still tied up with the problems and the fears and the worry. So even if you're strong because you've read the word, you're still tied up, bound by the things of this world, the cares of this world. And the Bible says because of those cares, worries, and concerns, we can get knocked over quickly. If I pushed right now, somebody's going over. Now, if I pushed him when he was freed, he could stand his ground. But because he's all bound up, he'll topple so quickly and so easily. And that's the way it is with our Christian life. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. He came to kill your enthusiasm and hope and dreams. He came to steal every good and perfect gift that God has. He came to destroy your life, your hope, and all of the faith that God has inside of you. And we're just walking little tiny baby steps, but God wants to set you free. Now, here's what happened. When Lazarus hopped his way out of the tomb, he was still alive but bound. Here's what Jesus Christ wants to do. He wants to send somebody alongside of you that's a friend or a brother in Christ. And he wants to let the two of you work together in prayer to set him free. So go ahead. Now, don't cut his jeans, because you know that you don't want to rip. You don't want to rip these jeans. Go ahead, cut it right. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, this is called accountability and prayer right there. All right. Thank you. Come on, give it up for the free man in the house. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Are you getting the picture of this? This is, these grave clothes, they start to stink after a while. When we feel like we're hopeless, when we feel like I said yes to Jesus, but I still haven't gotten control of my mouth. I love God. I love the Lord Jesus. But I'm still battling in my mind with fears or with worry or with doubt. I want to run, but I'm walking and I'm already becoming weary. And the Bible says, you know, you'll run and not grow weary. But I'm getting weary, Mark. What do I do? Well, the problem is there's grave clothes. And you know what Martha and Mary said before Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb? They said, before you roll away that stone, you need to know something. It's been 4 days. This guy stinks. You need to understand some of our mentalities, our mindsets, it stinks. We have to come to the reality that some of these grave clothes, they stink. And we've got to get God and His Word in us. But more than that, do you know that God said that man, it's not good that man should be alone? He said that in the very beginning of time when He created man and woman. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. He created the female. And it wasn't just, by the way, for those of you wondering that are single in the room, it wasn't just God wants marriage. No, He hates loneliness. See, that's where the enemy gets you. If he can just get you alone, all by yourself. Do you know, interestingly enough, Lazarus, even though he was free, if he didn't have somebody sent to him to unwrap him, he still would have been walking around, baby stepping it. For those of you that saw What About Bob, I'm baby stepping, I'm doing the work. You never saw that movie. Okay, that's cool. You're spiritual. All right. We've got to learn to die to the flesh so that God can resurrect our spirits. And I'm going to say this today as your friend, as your pastor in this room, I rebuke the spirit of death over your life. I rebuke that old mindset that says you cannot and will not succeed. I break off every broken bondage that has been placed on you because of your family or your friends or what your mama said or what your daddy said or what your friend said. You can make it. You have hope. Jesus Christ gave you life and victory and freedom. You have to walk in that freedom, but you need the body of Christ. Together we can do this. The enemy likes to separate us, kind of like that, you know, that you see those wildlife footage on National Geographic Channel or something like that with, you know, the lion or the lioness hunting and the little maimed gazelle, the little limping gazelle, and he's barely going, watches the lioness, hunts her prey. There she is in the bushes. You're like, go! Go, little gazelle! Go! And the whole pack of gazelle are just like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. It's horrible. You're like, cameraman, stop this crazy thing. And sure enough, you see as he attacks. Why? Because the lion waits in prey for the wounded one. Some of us in this room, we've been wounded and we're walking wounded. God wants to heal you, make you strong. The lion doesn't attack the whole herd. He waits for the straggler that's alone. That's why God hates loneliness. Friends, I don't know what you're going through or what challenges, trials, or problems you're faced with, but Jesus is here to bring you healing. And not just that, but you've got a crowd of people in this room that love you and care about you and want God's best for you. That's why we offer things like Life School on Wednesday nights where you can get to know each other and learn the Word of God together and pray together. That's why we offer life groups in the fall and in the spring. That's why we have Sunday school classes on Sunday mornings. Why do we offer these things? Because we know We know the enemy's tactics, but we know God's goodness and what he did to set us free. He gave us each other as a gift. I think about people that serve all the time. And, you know, I brought attention to Marty and Jerry a little while ago, and I know they don't like the spotlight, but I just bring their name up because time of rejoicing that they had to celebrate this last weekend. But more than that, do you know, every single Sunday morning, nobody sees it, nobody else knows it, but Jerry is out here early in the morning, and he's got his blower, and he blows off all of the leaves so that when you walk down the sidewalk out front that you won't have to walk through leaves, that everything is just pristine and beautiful. Do you know what my greatest joy would be? Is that we have young people, young men, young women, young marrieds, young teenagers that are following alongside Jerry to go, you know what? You've been doing this for years. Would you teach me how to do this? I know it seems so simplistic. I watch as, you know, people like Paul O'Brien go and share and give food to those who are in need, or go to certain nursing homes, or even to those who have had loved ones pass away and make meals. And my greatest joy, my greatest honor, part of the reason I feel God sent me here was to allow those who are the older constituents in this room to train up the younger in this room. We need you to train us. We need the older generation to train the younger generation. That's what the Bible said. Matter of fact, that could be the most valuable thing that you leave, is a legacy, a lasting legacy that outlives you. The best way I know how to do that is to give ministry away in as many ways as possible. That you don't serve unless you've got somebody else alongside of you. And some of the older generation is looking to the younger generation going, where are you? When are you going to be ready to serve? And some of the younger generation is going, but I'm a wounded gazelle. And I'm limping along. And I need freedom. Today, I believe you're going to receive that freedom in Jesus' name. Let's talk about the prescription. We talked about the problem and the promises. Let's talk about the prescription. And I gave it in ABC form just to make it easy. The ABCs you need in 2018, you know, the prescription, and it is not more cowbell. There's half of you that got that, and that's okay. You know what I do? I give jokes in generational waves. I do. Sometimes I'll talk about what it was like to live without a cell phone, and half the congregation laughs, and the other half goes, without cell phones, I don't know what it would be like to be without my cell phone. What does that mean? And then I'll talk about, you know. Anyway, it's fun for me. I just like to hear where the laughter comes from. All right, letter A, acknowledge. Acknowledge the root of my problem. Letter A, acknowledge. This is the starting point, the foundation for breaking free, is acknowledge the root of the problem. And by the way, it is all summed up in one word. It's a word you don't often hear. Many preachers don't even use this word anymore, and it's a word that's kind of controversial. No president really talks about this word. As a matter of fact, I even hate to use the word in mixed company, so I'm going to spell it out, S-I-N. And do you know that sin is not just, you know, getting stoned, getting drunk, or going out and sleep with somebody else's wife, or robbing a bank, or, you know, killing somebody? It's not just that. Do you know that's the results of sin, not the root of the sin? The root of the sin is the middle letter in S-I-N. It's the letter I. I want what I want when I want it. I don't need God. I can do my own thing. And that's the true problem. John, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. So let's just stop right here and say this before I read the second half of this. If you ever look down on somebody with an air of judgmentalism, you have overlooked this passage of Scripture. You need more help than anybody else in the room. Do you know, when I talk to different counselors, they say that the hardest problem to overcome is those who won't admit they have a problem. See, if you want to get real healing, you have to first admit that you have a problem to begin with, because if you say you don't have a problem, how can anybody help you solve the problem you say you don't have? If you say you have no sin, you're fooling yourself and refusing to accept the truth. We all need a Savior. In order to stop defeating myself, I've got to first stop deceiving myself. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 8, verse 34. Everyone who commits sin is its slave. And whatever you refuse to admit enslaves you. So the first step, admit the root of the problem, which is sin. The second, the letter B, is the word believe. Everybody say believe. Believe. Believe that Jesus Christ can change me. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 says, who can free me from this prison? And here's the answer. And by the way, this is the life hack verse right here. This is the one that you may have overlooked, read a million times, but missed the reality of the scripture. 8-word life hack. Here it is. I thank God. There is a way out through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. You can't do it by ingenuity. You can't do it by your own strength. You can't do it by yourself, for yourself, with yourself. You've got to have the power of the living God working in you and through you to help you do what you could not do, to give you the power to change. It's only through Christ Jesus. There is a way out. Paul reminds us of the answer is not a thing, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the way, give you the truth, and give you the life. He said, I am. The answer is not a thing, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. I heard about this Chinese Christian who gave his testimony and said it like this. I'd walk down the road of life and I'd fallen into a great ditch called sin. Muhammad said, you're not really in that ditch. You just think you're there. Confucius said, here are 10 steps to self-attainment so you can get in touch with yourself and out of the ditch. Buddha said, here's 7 steps to get out of the ditch. If you struggle hard enough, maybe you'll come out. Struggle as I could, I still was in the pit of sin, of hopelessness and helplessness. But then Jesus Christ came by. He saw my condition. Without a word of advice, he stripped himself of his regal robes, got down into the ditch, into the muck and the mire of my sin. He came down to where I was and he lifted me out. Thank God, what I could not do for myself, Christ did for me. That's the good news, my friend, of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Pastor Adam, if you'd come as we close out today. Romans 8:2 says, for the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me out. Everybody say, lifts me out. Of the old vicious circle of sin. That's the way out. Finally, letter C. Commit all I am to Christ. Everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You say, Mark, you don't know what I've done. Can I tell you, it really doesn't matter. Jesus Christ came to set us free. There's not little levels of sin. Some of us have this mentality that there's levels of sin. No, there's levels of the result of sin, right? You rob a bank, you're going to end up paying a penalty, okay? That's the result of sin. But robbing a bank is no worse than going around gossiping. As a matter of fact, gossip is harder to stop than restitution for a bank, because how are you going to find out every single human being that's heard your gossip and your lies? You can hardly stop gossip. You could pay restitution to a bank. Think about it. There's not levels of sin. So how do we cope? Well, there was a magazine that came out, a magazine article, Ladies Magazine, a number of years ago, and talked about how to cope when you're feeling depressed or discouraged and lonely. And they asked these ladies, well, what do you do to cope? And here was some of the ladies' answers. I head home for lunch and turn on Maury Povich to see who's your baby daddy. That's how she deals with it. Okay? How to feel better fast. Just look at somebody else that's messing up worse than you. Here's another one. I check out mentally and pretend I'm on a deserted island with Brad Pitt. Ladies, why are you staring off into space right now? You just need to bring it back to reality. All right. I cure my depression by shopping. Well, that's great until the credit card bill comes back, right? When I'm down, I head for the food court. I get comfort in food. When I need a break, I fantasize about taking revenge on my ex-husband. Well, you know, that could be a little psychotic after a while. Another one says this. This is kind of out there. I get a kick out of dressing up my daughter's baby Barbie dolls. Somebody's lonely. Okay, that's a little creepy. All right. And the last one. Here's how the world says you need to find ways to cope if you're really feeling a struggle. When I feel down, when I feel depressed, I get rid of all my old underwear. That's the best this world can do? That's the best they can offer? Look, you've tried everything and it's not working. But can I tell you, there are millions and millions of people that are living proof that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and brings the true life. There are millions and millions of people in this world over time and centuries that have proven the fact that Jesus Christ is the way. Drug addicts and porn addicts and those that are addicted to horrible and terrible things. Those who have wounded others and killed others and destroyed others' lives. And they're broken and confused and they're lonely and they're lost. And they finally come to the bottom. They hit bottom. And that's when they look up. And they find that Jesus Christ is the answer. And he's not a crutch. He's the way. He's not just something you lean on. He's the one you trust in. And when you find him, you found everything. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when anybody becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. 2 Timothy 1, the Spirit of God gives us, or the Spirit that God gives us doesn't make us timid. Instead, his Spirit fills us with power, with love, and with self-control. Friends, willpower doesn't work. Self-control only comes from the Holy Spirit of God within us. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So you got a choice. You can keep depending on yourself if you want. Or you can turn to God and say, God, I need you. God, I trust you. And God, I put everything I have in the palm of your almighty hand. Today, friends, is the turning point for you. And there is no defeat in you because there's no defeat in God. So today, all you have to do is reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, today, I'm putting my trust in you. Transform me. Change me from the inside out. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? As we close out this message, I know there's some in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to truly make him Lord and Savior. I've said it many times, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So at some point, you have to come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way. You've tried it on your own and you've failed so many times. Jesus is your answer. And if you put your trust and faith and hope in him today, he'll set you free. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. There's sin that's separating you from God. And today, Jesus is saying, I love you. I embrace you. I want to forgive you. But you have to come to a place where you admit that I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need a fresh start. There's others of you in this room. Maybe you've known the Lord for many years. You've made a decision for Christ, but you're still kind of baby stepping because you're totally filled with love for God and you're saved and you have a new life. But you still have some old grave clothes on, some old ways of thinking, old ways of acting, old ways of believing, and you've allowed doubt and maybe issues of life to the cares of this world to wrap you up in bondage. And today, Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to bring you true freedom. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this room, nobody looking around in this moment, I'm asking you to be honest and make an assessment, an evaluation of your own heart and life. The Bible clearly said that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you'd say, Mark, today, I want to be included in this closing prayer. Mark, I want to have a new, fresh start. Today, I need a new beginning. Or Mark, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or Mark, I need those grave clothes cut off of me. I want to run and not grow weary. I want to walk and not faint. I need those grave clothes cut off. Whatever area you're in today, if that's you right now, I want you to slip up your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. That's you right now. All over this place. Yes, yes, yes. 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, 11, 12, 13, 14 hands. Yes. Anybody else? In the balcony, in the main floor. Yes, 15. God bless you. Anybody else today? Mark, that's me. Pray for me. Include me in this prayer. Listen, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to invite you into the greatest relationship of transformation you've ever had in all your life. If that's you, anybody else, lift it up. That's you. God bless you. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes. Yes, God bless you. So many hands lifted today. I want to pray this prayer with you. But really what I want is for you to pray it over yourself and to the Lord. I mentioned a lot of categories of old grave clothes: worry, doubt, fear, unbelief, busyness, career, money, desires, bad habits, wants and selfishness, greed, lust, pride, whatever it is, wrong relationships. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of deliverance. I want us to pray this prayer together, all of us out loud, but especially you who lifted your hands. Man, say this like you mean it. Say it with all of your heart out loud together. Let's say this. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for helping me. I choose to trust you with all of my life. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate, man? The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one makes a decision for Christ. Now listen, friend, if you made that decision today, maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know, man, God's doing something in your life. I want to ask you to do this one thing. I'm asking you to take this commitment card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would you take that card right now before we dismiss? Would you fill that out? And then turn it in on your way out, either to one of our ushers or greeters on the way out, or you can turn it in to Michelle or myself on the way out. Just letting us know, here's why. It's so important with the first steps of faith to have lots of prayer. And we want to pray over you. Believe God with you. The other thing we want to offer you is a little booklet. It's called One to One. And that booklet helps you in your steps of faith, the first 30 days of your walk with Christ. It'll help you. And we want to give you that booklet free of charge. If you want that by easy reader, you can download it either through Android or iPhone, whichever way. But it's called One to One. And I want to see you transformed every day by the power of God through His Word. Read His Word every day. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll give you a Bible free of charge. We just want to bless you with that. We want God's promises in your hands. If you don't know how to understand what you're reading, come to us on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings. Matter of fact, I encourage you, take this year and commit it to the Lord and say, I'm not going to miss one Sunday. I'm not going to miss one day. Or if you go away on a vacation like Michelle and I often do, we'll go to a church even when we're away on vacation. Why? Because I just want the Word of God in me. It's not because I'm going to get a religious gold star in heaven if I don't miss church. I got the perfect attendance award when I made it to heaven. No. It says, as you get closer to the day that approaches, and we know what that day is, the day of the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come back for His church. He said, as you get closer to that day, don't forsake the assembling together. Come together more often, basically. That's why we offer these life groups and life school. On your way out today, sign up for a life school. You say, well, I don't have time. Listen, make time. It's worth it. It's an investment. 1 hour a week on Wednesday, it's an investment spiritually for a lifetime. Now, at the close of this service, these altars, as always, are open for you. And I do want to just bring a quick closure to something. I know some of you are looking over here and wondered, why in the world is that big, huge thing there? If you weren't here last week, you need to know we're under renovation. Thank you for excusing our dust. We're doing a lot of renovations around here over the next 60 days, and especially the next 30 days, you're going to see some things transform. Please, if you got little children or grandchildren, be careful. There's going to be stuff around the outsides and over here. And, of course, we're repurposing these back screens to go over to our Christian Life Center in a couple of months, in about 30 to 60 days. But I just want to say a couple things before we close today. Can I just say as a pastor and as a friend, thank you. Thank you for supporting while we're walking through transition. You know, some people get frustrated when transition comes. And you've been so gracious, so good. You've spoken like so much blessing and so much favor. Do you know God created the worlds with his words? And then he gave us that creative power and he said, I created the male and female in my image. He said, basically, I gave you the creative power with your mouth. So you have the ability, according to the book of James, to speak blessing or curses. And I thank God this church has spoken blessing after blessing after blessing. God answers by faith. He does not answer by doubt. He answers with blessing word, not with cursing word. And I thank God. Thank you so much for being so incredibly supportive during this process, because it has been a process. And thank you for your extra added prayers, because it's put a lot more on our staff during this time of transition. But you've been so good and so gracious. Thank you for that. And one last thing, as I said before, these altars are always open for you for prayer at the close of the service. You can always come and pray, and we'll have people ready and willing to pray for you if you need prayer. But those who came to this church, maybe for the very first time, or you've never received a gift from Michelle and I for being here, at the close of the service, we're going to head out the doors and head to the back. Give us maybe 3 to 5 minutes. It takes a little bit of time to get out there. But we'll be by our Connection Cafe ready to greet you and give you a gift for hanging out with us today. Would you get anything out of today? Did you get anything? I pray you did. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you understand the significance of the love of your Savior, Jesus Christ, that came to set you free. And he who the Son has set free is truly free. So today, I release that freedom over you and your family, with your coworkers, with your friends, that the love that's been given to you by God would be then expressed through you to our community, to our city, to your friends and family, to your neighborhoods. I bless you to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled week. Make sure to connect with somebody before you go. Shake their hand on the way out the doors. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with Dothan First at dothanfirstassembly.org or follow us on social media. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we'd love to have you join us next Sunday at 10 a.m.